Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. We are known for having some of the worst air quality in the world. So why is our governor asking the EPA to pump the brakes in Utah? Plus, some things you need to know about canyon construction and local trail closures. Executive producer Emily Means is here. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, Means.
Good morning, Allie Vallarta. I have some breaking news for you.
I always get you with breaking news. Today you're getting me. Are you kidding?
What is it? It's kind of breaking personal news, but I had my first Tan France sighting this weekend.
Okay. I had one last week. No way.
Where'd you see him? You're kidding. Okay. Tan France, fashion guy from Queer Eye on Netflix.
Think hair. Beautiful gray, tall hair.
Yes, yes. He's called Utah home since 2018, and I can't believe I haven't seen him until this moment.
This is wild. Where were you?
Okay, he was at Hub and Spoke having brunch.
I saw him having brunch at Oasis Cafe.
No.
Last Sunday. Okay, yeah. We shouldn't say exactly when.
Yeah, people are like mapping his whereabouts. We should probably be a little more careful about that. But this is an open invitation to Tan France to join us on this show. We would love to hear about all your favorite brunch spots in the city.
We'd also love to hear about the home that you just built in Salt Lake that we've all seen on Architectural Digest that is absolutely stunning. I'm like, where did you source this tile? Not the tile store on State Street.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Anyway, so that was a huge moment for me.
Yeah, you're a Salt Laker now. It's official.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into, well, now I'm like, let's get into news that's way less exciting, but also exciting. We need to do a little canyon construction update because spring is in the air. Well, it has been. It's on and off. But canyon construction is very much happening. And you'll be maybe surprised to hear we are not talking about Little Cottonwood.
Thank God.
This is a gondola-free conversation related to canyon construction. We're talking about City Creek, Mill Creek, and the Bonneville Shoreline Trail, a.k.a. the BST. I want to start with Mill Creek Canyon news because, Emily, you are a cat owner, but I am a dog owner, which I feel like if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you're like,
that makes a lot of sense for us, huh? Yeah.
And I saw this story from Sophia Jeremias in the Salt Lake Tribune that was like, proposal to widen Mill Creek Canyon could close the canyon for 2 years, and panicked. Mm-hmm. Because for those of us dog owners, which now makes up about 40% of our city, Mill Creek Canyon is like kind of the only canyon you can take your dog in.
Out of all the canyons? This is the only one?
Well, Big and Little Cottonwood are watersheds.
Right.
Emigration kind of doesn't count because there just aren't a ton of hikes in there. Like there's two or three basically. Mm. And City Creek is closed for like a while they work on that. So yeah, low key. I mean, in the north part of the county, like you could go down to Butterfield, you could go down. But if you want to be within 15 minutes of downtown, Mill Creek's the guy.
That's the one. And it's a good one.
It is a great canyon. And I have to say, they have done a really nice job sorting out mountain bikers and dog walkers sharing the trails with their odd and even day situation. So on even days, dogs have to be on leash in the canyon. On odd days, they can be off leash. So like if it's the 15th, that's an odd day. Great hikes in there, entrance fee of like $5 a day, all that to say. So the way it's set up is like there's this winter gate, right? So there's 5 miles of canyon road leading to hikes for the first 5 miles. And then you get to this gate that's generally closed between like October 1st and July 1st when it's snowing. Mm-hmm. And after that gate, there are 4 miles that continue on that you can explore in the winter on cross-country skis, but you can't take your car up there. In the summer, you can drive up there and there's like another whole half a canyon full of trailheads to explore.
Okay.
The proposal is that everything after the winter gate would be closed for 2 years starting next spring, so May 2025.
2 years is a long time, Allie. So is this a part of the canyon that you like to recreate in with your dog?
It is, because there's this great hike at the very, very top, and it's called Upper Big Water, I think, or Little Big Water. And what I love about it is that it's just a gentle elevation gain. Like, it's not a trek. It's, like, shady. I mean, in the summer when things get really, really hot, it's super shady. It's lovely. Anyway, the goal is... cool. It's to widen the road so that it's safer for cars to pass each other because some of those tight little turns get wild. And to add a bike lane. Love that.
Bike lane's nice. Mm-hmm.
Expanding some of the parking areas. They're going to add a roundabout by the winter gate, which I'm like, I can't even picture that. That feels kind of crazy. And personally, I think this makes sense. But as you can imagine, people have ecological concerns.
Right. Well, Allie, I got to tell you, it was kind of hard for me to hold in my head excitement for widening a canyon road while we're mad about widening all the other roads, you know, like, don't want to see it happen on I-15. Don't want to see it happen up the canyon.
Yeah.
And yeah, certainly some concerns about the surrounding environment and watershed and trees and all of this, right?
Yeah. I mean, they are done with the comment period for this. They received over 700 comments about this idea, and it seems like the bulk of them were concerned about, like, how adding more pavement to the canyon will impact water supply and taking down trees and all that kind of stuff. And I think, like, there's this psychological thing of, in a world where we're exploring building this gondola up Little Cottonwood, where they want to expand I-15, like, to your point, Emily, should we be adding more pavement or should we be using less cars?
Well, let me propose an idea, you know, after the comment period has ended. But why not a shuttle bus? Because right below Mill Creek Canyon is a park and ride, the UTA park and ride on 39th South and Wasatch Boulevard. Why not have people park there and then just shuttle up Mill Creek Canyon?
And it's such a good point because, like, now that I think about this, the proposal to widen Mill Creek comes from the federal government, basically the U.S. Department of Transportation, Salt Lake County, and Mill Creek City. It's not like it's the – it's not, you know, Senate President Stuart Adams being like, we should pave the – you know, unlike the gondola, this was sort of written by the county and the city in partnership with the federal government. So you – would think that would be on the table, but maybe it is. Maybe that's part of a transit plan. But I mean, the thing is, this is happening. Maybe. This is happening.
The thing is, yeah, it's happening. And things do get iffy up there, like really tight, tight corners. And I can't even imagine being a cyclist up Mill Creek Canyon.
The bike lane is fantastic. No, the bike lane's great. Like, it's a must. It's a must.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so we have that to look forward to.
We do, but not for a year, like 1 year from today, basically. So spend the next year hiking the crap out of Upper Big Water.
Yeah, gird your loins. In the meantime, you know, City Creek Canyon has been under construction since November. If y'all aren't aware, they've been rebuilding a water treatment plant up there. I'm a huge City Creek Canyon fan because it's a paved trail. Also, there are, like, bathrooms along the way.
It's also so stunning. Like, it's like,
it's so beautiful.
You start driving up that road and you can't believe how far back it goes. And
yeah.
Every time you turn a corner, it opens up this, like, Sound of Music situation. It's just – and those picnic areas are, like, perfect birthday parties. Ugh, City Creek rules.
How long is this
going on for again? How long is it closed for?
This portion of the canyon, which is from Picnic Site 16 upwards, so that's about 3 miles up the canyon, it will be closed until January 2027.
Oh, God. Okay.
which is a long time from now. Yeah. But anyway, I called up the project team to get some updates and just to like figure out, you know, how things have been going with the canyon closure. To be very specific, pedestrians and cyclists can go up the trails 7 days per week, but the City Creek Canyon Road is only available on weekends and holidays. Mm-hmm. And I think people are kind of having a hard time with that. They said there's been some trespassing as well, I think probably around the closure, which, like I said, was Site 16. I guess cyclists are a big fan of, you know, the uphill in that area. Mm-hmm. So they would like people to be mindful. There's also some problems with adjacent trails, like trails that cut across City Creek Canyon Road. Those are closed. Like, you cannot cross the road via those trails. So just be mindful, people.
You saying cyclists are a big fan of that uphill portion is the funniest thing ever. So I'm like, I would not be a fan of an uphill portion of anything. Though you do get to like squee downhill, which is awesome, but yeah. Good Lord. City Creek is, I feel like, one of our city's crown jewels, in part because it is such an accessible nature pathway. Like, mm-hmm. if you use a wheelchair, like if you broke your freaking leg, like if you just want to bring a mess of kids or whatever, like the fact that you can pull your car right up to those picnic areas and they still feel peaceful and removed and they're affordable and accessible and all those things, like,
yeah,
it's awesome.
This is another one, Allie, where I'd like to suggest a shuttle, like, because the parking up there is not enough. People park on the side of the road, which is like deteriorating. There are those signs that are like, it's dangerous to park here, park at your own risk, you might fall into the creek, who knows. So I don't know, what if there was just like a circulator, you know, up that road and then down to the Capitol or something?
Yeah, I mean, raise our sales tax 0.5% to fund public transit to outdoor rec in our city, please.
Yeah!
I do think, like, also Allie referenced the stadium deal every single episode challenge.
I'm taking a shot.
I do think that, like, I mean, Wasatch Backcountry Alliance, which is a nonprofit kind of Save Our Canyons-y group, remember they started just a private shuttle when the ski bus was really wonky and kind of unreliable because they had a driver shortage not this past season, but the season before. And they run that basically privately. So you could probably shop this idea around to some of these canyon nonprofits that don't like the idea of paving and see if they could just get a private something going in the summer.
Who can I sell this to?
I don't know.
Or maybe we could start is this what a Facebook group would be for?
Oh, like, God. You have to quit like, this job because you're now full-time managing a Facebook discussion group.
Right. I'm the rideshare leader. Hey, if you want updates on City Creek Canyon construction, you can actually sign up for updates from the project team. You can get text messages or an email.
That's nice.
I'm happy to link that in our show description for anyone who's interested.
Please do. Before we move on from this canyon construction segment, I do want to just give one shout out to the construction happening on the Bonneville Shoreline Trail, aka the BST. So they have closed about a mile and a half of the BST between Radio Towers and City Creek. And if you're like, what is that? It's basically behind Ensign Peak, like Capitol Hill. That section of the BST has been closed. Mm-hmm. But they're doing some great stuff. Like, they're just kind of tightening up the trail. They're adding some bike access around City Creek, whatever. It should be done. I feel like we've given you some quote unquote bad news about anticipated closures or current closures. It should be done. If not by the end of this week, then next week.
Hell yeah.
So that's great.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah. And this is all like all this Bonneville Shoreline Trail maintenance is part of the Foothill Trail System plan, which you might be familiar with because part of that plan was adding the like separate downhill bike paths and hiking paths in the trails up behind the avenues that led to a bunch of avenues residents putting out signs that said save our foothills because they didn't like that. Controversial, but the city put basically like a 5-year plan on hold because of the outrage, which is wild. And this is kind of, this is part of that. This is part of basically the 2020 master plan that was written to figure out our Foothill Trail system, which is 6,000 acres. And Emily, before they started researching and putting together a plan for it, there was no plan. There existed no master plan for the Foothill Trail Network. It was all just like vibes.
Better late than never, I guess. Mm-hmm. So if this is just a small part of the plan, surely there will be more improvements coming?
Well, yeah. I mean, presumably, I think the city's been trying to figure out how to navigate some of the outrage around like the trails behind the avenues, though some of those are done. And I will say, like, they're lovely. They're really lovely.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
All right, Emily, it's no secret we have terrible air quality in this valley. I feel like it's one of the biggest concerns when people move here. Or even like friends that I have that don't live here will ask me, like, how's your lungs?
Bad.
And so you and I were kind of surprised, but also not surprised, when our governor, Governor Spencer Cox, joined 21 other governors in signing a letter asking the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, federal enforcement agency, not to enforce a new regulation that they've got related to air quality.
Mm-hmm. And specifically our type of air pollution, right? It's particulate pollution.
Yep. PM2.5.
The EPA
the name on everybody's lips.
Is further restricting, you know, the amount of particle pollution we can have. And Governor Cox says that this rule will hurt rural communities. He says that much of the PM2.5 we experience in Utah comes from wildfires, which are on federal land.
Yes.
So, Allie, I can't help but think that this is an election year move, right? Like, we know that air quality is a problem here, although it's something that the state has been working to improve. And it has improved over the past 100 years or so.
Yeah, this letter was kind of strange. I will say it's giving big tobacco. It's giving the almighty dollar. The second line of the letter, which is signed by, like, I mean, in terms of Republican governors, it's the greatest hits. It's Kemp. It's Huckabee Sanders. It's Greg Abbott. Like, you know these names. The second sentence says, whatever recently the APA announced tightening limits of fine particles in the air known as PM 2.5, love that. PM 2.5 is known to be one of the most dangerous, like, it's one of the most dangerous kinds of bad air quality you can have. Without considering the impact to states, namely rural states and the private sector. So, like, they're opening with, this is bad for business. And I found that to be kind of, I mean, like, okay, yeah. Duh, uh-huh. You guys. But also, like, the EPA on their website says that the rule will protect millions of Americans from harmful and costly health impacts such as heart attacks and premature death. And, right. like, arguably, heart attacks and premature death are also bad for business. So you're kind of like, listen, like, we're between a rock and a hard place, guys. Like, we either need to wean ourselves off of creating massive amounts of pollution or we're going to have more health issues, which very expensive for local and federal economies.
Right. So, you know what's funny, Allie? I was looking at other reporting on this, and I saw in ABC4, atmospheric scientist Logan Mitchell, who we've had on the show before, mm-hmm. says this new rule won't even do much for Utah. It won't have a ton of impact because we're already pretty close to meeting the new standards. Mm. So what is Spencer Cox so upset about?
Right. Okay. So yeah, proof that this is just political maneuvering. I mean, last week you and I reported on how things went at the GOP county convention. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that Governor Cox got booed by his own party on stage, though he is a popular governor, but convention delegates tend to be more, you know, radical, specifically in the Republican Party. And so, yeah, signing this letter is not about leading out on the needs of Utahns or the will of Utahns. It's about trying to appease the sect of his party that booed him at convention, which is right. So, A, just like kind of weak, because you're like, you're literally the governor. Like, you have all the power. You're 99% certain to win re-election. Why? We don't have to do this. Meanwhile, you're like on this disagree better campaign. So like, just kind of focus on your stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it aligns with what we saw during the legislative session as well. There were a handful of bills to kind of prop up coal-fired power plants in the state.
Yeah.
And he signed both of those bills. So it was like, what are we doing? Why are we looking backwards?
Right.
We have goals that we need to work toward when it comes to air quality. Mm-hmm. And shouldn't we do everything in our power to get there?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the takeaway I saw, incidentally, also from Logan Mitchell on Twitter about this past legislative session related to air quality was that Utah basically switched the dial from being an all-of-the-above state in terms of energy production to a coal-first state. And that's a really interesting choice, especially paving the way for the signing of this letter, another interesting choice, given that we have big air quality goals, like our agreement to host the Winter Olympics in 2034 in Salt Lake City with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, says that the air needs to be clear when all those athletes land here in winter 2034. So it's like, we have a decade to get that done. And it's going to be winter, which actually, incidentally, like, some of our worst air quality days are in the summer, because that's when we have the most ozone. But the air looks the worst in the winter. So imagine like being an Olympian and you're landing at SLC International and you're like seeing the smog in the valley and you're like, my body is literally my temple.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Right, right. Well, and, you know, it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, we've definitely progressed on this issue when you can see an issue so clearly. Clearly is maybe not the right word to use. The air is anything but clear when it's most visible to us. Yes. But like, air quality is still a top 10 policy issue for Utahns. That's what a report from the Utah Foundation found. So I don't know, like, it just sends the wrong message, I think, to Utahns who are still worried about this. I mean, I'm hacking up along during the winter just like everyone else, and I don't want to be doing that anymore, okay?
Right. Though, what we should say, and I think, like, there are quite a few people, like almost everyone who works in the air quality space will say, is that our air is getting better.
Yeah.
It has improved over the past decade. It will likely improve over the next decade because of, you know, simple and more complex measures that the state and we as individuals are taking. I have noticed, like, you know, Salt Lake City has big goals, 100% renewable energy by 2030, 50% reduction in carbon dioxide emissions. They are pushing this, like, in, like, public transit plan, trying to get us in public transit. Even the governor, I will say, like, he was the one who asked for free fare forever.
Right.
In his budget 2 years ago. So there is they're trying to figure out how to hold coal and people riding tracks everywhere and expanding I-15, like, all in their hands at the same time, the state is. The thing about it that I don't love, and I think I've been thinking about this a lot because of the show we did yesterday about the Disagree Better campaign, is that there's a lot of, like, individual responsibility in all of this messaging. And it's like, you, Ali Viarte, you, Emily Means, take the bus, take the train, you know, get on a shuttle to go up City Creek, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't feel systemic, because then when we have these, like, systemic regulations, our governor pushes back against them. And it's like, well, it can't just be on us to, like, bike to the Kilby Walk Party. We also need to, like, change the way we pollute.
Right, right. Well, and that's where federal regulations come in. If states won't do it, then the feds will do it. And we hate that as Utahns. So it's better for us to just lead out on these things. So let's lead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the last thing I would say is, on the note of us having some of our worst air quality days in the summer, always check the air if you're getting out and recreating. We have a great guide to doing that in our Hey Salt Lake newsletter. I'll link it in the episode description. But there's apps, there's websites, there's all kinds of stuff you can do to just take a quick look and make sure it's a good day to be, I don't know, being outside. Unfortunately, that's the reality of where we're at here.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten mom's day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a 6-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
Okay, let's do shout outs and get out of here. You go first. I feel like I've been ranting today.
Allie, I'm going to rant for a moment because my shout out is a gripe to disguised as a shout out. This is a shout out to everyone who doesn't block the bike lane with their car. Like, I was out and about on my bike this past weekend, and I am lucky to live on a street with a bike lane, a designated bike lane, and there were like, I don't know, a dozen cars parked directly in it. And it's already an unpleasant experience because all of the debris from the road ends up in the bike lane. Mm-hmm. So then I got to dodge cars. It's a whole thing. But I have to tell you, the most egregious offender was a truck parked in the middle of the Nine Line Trail. A newly constructed bike and pedestrian path that goes all the way down 900 South. And there was a truck just parked in the middle of it. Mm. I was like, literally, what are you doing, sir? The street is right there. Like, I don't understand. So shout out to everyone who is making space for other modes of transportation in this city.
That's a good shout out. Do you know that
shakes my fist
Instagram account Park City A-hole Parking? Park City, yes. Asshole Parking.
Yes.
It has like almost 10,000 followers, and for good reason. I think that we all do find joy in just being like, what are we doing here? And there's something kind of beautiful about it because you can, they'll post photos of someone who's parked horribly and we all get to like mock them, but then also that person isn't like endangered by our mocking. Like, mm-hmm. their license plate isn't exposed, you know, their life doesn't necessarily get disrupted. But yeah, the bike lane parking is scary. And frankly, like, I much prefer the bike lanes that I was biking around on Saturday morning during the marathon to cheer people on. I much prefer the lanes that are inside the parking than outside the parking. Yeah. Though I think those are the ones that people tend to park in more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people want to park up against the curb, but that's the bike lane, my friends.
Right.
Like, there is parking for you on the street. You just got to look. Just look.
Yeah. Yeah. There's got to be some, like, that would be a good city campaign, like, to come up with some really fun messaging and, like, materials around not parking in the bike lane.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should give people, like, 5 cents when they don't. Like, how my mom got me to buckle my seatbelt was giving me 5 cents.
You're saying we need a carrot approach rather than a stick approach.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm ready to take a stick to these cars, okay?
Or Emily will just whack your car with a branch like John Cleese in Fawlty Towers, and you're going to have to live with it. Okay.
Oh, my God. What's your shout-out, Allie?
My shout-out is to Solstice Chocolate, a local chocolate maker in Murray, and their Ghana Dark Milk Chocolate Bar. And here's why. Mm. I don't love milk chocolate. Like, I'll eat a Hershey's and a s'mores or whatever, but if I'm, like, at the store buying something to put in the freezer, it's not going to be milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like sometimes I bite into bars of dark chocolate and I'm like, this tastes like dirt. What are we doing here? Why does this taste like coffee grounds and dirt? It's so acidic.
And then you have to pretend to like it.
Yeah, because I'm like,
just to be sophisticated.
Right, exactly. I'm like, oh, it'll be good with a glass of wine. So I recently picked up this bar of Solstice chocolate from Harman's. Hashtag ad. And It's bright blue. Like, that's how you know you've got it. It's the Solstice chocolate. It's called the Ghana blend. It's the whole chocolate bar is bright blue. And it is dark milk chocolate.
Huh.
And it's the solution I've been looking for my entire life. It's like smooth and creamy, but it doesn't taste like cardboard like I think some milk chocolate does. Like, it's smooth and creamy, but it's just dark and pungent enough that you don't want to like gobble the whole thing down. Like, it does feel indulgent. It does feel like savorable. I'm thrilled. I'm changed. I didn't know dark milk chocolate existed. I thought it was a binary.
It's a spectrum, Allie. Ooh, I think you should pair that with some Gouda, like some really good Gouda. I got a good Gouda from Caputo's, hashtag not sponsored, that I think would go great with that. And like maybe some berries as we're heading into spring.
Yeah, I love chocolate and blackberries. That's my favorite. This sounds is the season, delicious. Man. Like, fruit is coming. Everything's about to get so good.
We're going to be unstoppable with our picnics.
Uh-huh, that's right. Okay, Emily, always a joy to start the week with you. Have a great day.
Have a great day, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.